What is up, everybody? The Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Palmer Toms. We are from Dogs HQ, and we got a lot of Georgia talk to get to. Talk about Kirby's win, a tone on the win at Kentucky, and talk about looking ahead to Alabama. We're going to look, we're also going to tell the truth here at the end of this episode. We're going to give you our unfiltered thoughts on this Georgia football team.
PG-13.
Right? Maybe. Okay. I'm in a mood. Hey, I am in the mood, though. I am in a mood to shout out our man, Andy Ludicky, over at MyPerfectFranchise.net. We love Andy. He's been great to us. Are you a displaced corporate executive, or do you want to put your career in your own hands? You can also be an experienced entrepreneur, and you want to diversify. You want to get something different out there. Hit up Andy Ludicky over at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy's a huge college sports fan and a franchise veteran. He's owned multiple franchises. He's owned multiple businesses. And using his expertise, he helps others find their American dream through a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. Call Andy. Put your life and your career in your own hands. And best of all, it is free to you. His services are 100% free to you. Go to MyPerfectFranchise.net. You see it right there on the screen. Go hit it up. We've had some success stories, man. We met with Andy not too long ago and went through some of the success stories, and they're there. They're absolutely there. If you've got a great idea, take it over to Andy for and get it franchised and work through it, and he can help you get you where you want to go. All right, Kirby's trying to get Georgia where they want to go, where the Dogs want to go. And Palmer, he talked this week, and hi, how are you? I know I didn't really give you a chance to kind of, you know, introduce you here, but this is the esteemed Palmer Toms, and he was there to listen to Kirby on Tuesday. He also got after him a little bit of a question that I asked Palmer to ask. So Palmer took a bullet for the Dogs HQ crew. I had a volleyball game I had to be at for my daughter, and Palmer took my strays, and I appreciate that.
It was a good question, and he did end up giving a good answer. But it was funny to, you know, it's always funny, and Jake, I'm sure you've been in this situation before, when you ask a question, and then the coach ends up asking a question in their response.
Yeah.
It's like, do they want you to answer it? Do they want you to just sit there and
because
shut
you
up
take yourself out of conversation mode when you're in there? You're no longer right in conversation mode. You're in ask question and listen mode.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to get some information out to your people. The only thing that bothered me about that is I sent the quote to you, and Kirby literally said, you have to sacrifice. I mean, to the gist of it was,
hey, Jake, do we want to preface it with what the question was?
Yeah. Well, Palmer asked, you know, hey, is basically this, you know, you talked about it in the preseason, how you kind of have to sacrifice, kind of chemistry so that you can get other players reps and build depth and develop.
And develop.
So Kirby said that during the preseason. And then, you know, I thought, hey, you know, these first few games, maybe Georgia's not as cohesive as they would like to be, communication issues, things like that. I wonder what he would say if you ask him if that's maybe showing up some here. Seemed like a pretty cut and dry deal, right? Like, he just said it a few weeks ago. He said it the week before Georgia played Clemson. So we're talking about like a month ago. Here we are during the bye week. You revisit it, ask it, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they made that too big of a deal was made of that. I could understand if he would have said something like that, but he kind of was like, it was almost like he said, hey, I didn't say that, but he did. And so when that happens,
he gave us the typical, you guys yeah, turned it into a big deal.
Right. And listen, I'm not being critical. I'm not being critical of Kirby when I say this. I'm not getting after Kirby. It is what it is, man. We all say things. We all have to talk more than we want to talk. And you know, fatigue statements, whatnot, I don't know. It just happens. But I feel like the fact that he kind of swayed away from that answer almost may give us an answer to that question. I'm always of the belief, it's just kind of how my mind works, that when you're basically like, hey, I didn't say that, it's because what I'm trying to ask you makes you want to say something that you don't really want to say, which is maybe you're not quite as cohesive as you should be. And he did kind of hint on that maybe being the issue with the injuries. You know what I mean? Like with Colby Young and London Humphreys, he mentioned specifically in the receiver group, you know, missing some time and missing some reps. But ultimately, I didn't – he just said that. All right, Kirby, you just said that.
Well, and I think his tone in response to that, maybe, you know, like you said, is telling of his tone in response to this win at Kentucky. Yeah, you know, like Kel says, a win is a win and Kirby will fix it. And I think that he's fully aware that the problems that they had at Kentucky, a lot of them are very, very fixable. But yeah, that doesn't change the fact that he's frustrated about the way that, you know, that they are having some of those problems, you know, still, and that they're not clicking in the way that he thought that they would. You know, especially offensively. I mean, it's hard to criticize this defense. I think, you know, when you listen to Kirby's tone this week, it's all about improvement. The bye week is always about improvement. And you know, you look at each side of the ball, where do they want to improve? Defensively, they haven't given up a touchdown in three games. It's hard to improve. It's hard to get much better than that. You'd like to get off the field a little bit earlier on third down because that will keep your guys fresher. It'll get your offense on the field more often. And the way to do that is what they said is the biggest thing that they looked at from that Kentucky game. They didn't tackle well.
They didn't
poorly.
You want to hear a stat on that? I've got one. 15 missed tackles for Georgia in that game. Okay, well, let's get a reference point. I went back to the start of the 2021 season. All right. This is from PFF. These are good numbers from PFF, and I'm skeptical about their grades, but I do really like their metrics. I do like because I do think they get you at the very least, they get you in the ballpark, and it's pretty clear they go through and they meticulously watch the film at the very
least. Here's proof of that. They had Jalen Walker for 8 quarterback pressures. The official stat count had him at 1. Jalen Walker was in the backfield more than once.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Yeah, Jalen Walker had – I mean, I can count off the top of my head 4 and 5 now. Yeah, 5. So they had Georgia with 15 missed tackles in this game. Now, Georgia, going back to the start of the 2021 season, has had one game where it had double-digit missed tackles, one other game. That was last week against Tennessee Tech. Yeah. And I remember that game because I was watching that game in crunch time. I'm not in mop-up duty, and I was like, my God, they cannot get anybody on the ground. I bet Georgia racked up probably 7 or 8 missed tackles in the fourth quarter of that game. All right.
And so those are probably your second-teamer guys.
Right, you know, yeah, at least 5 or 6. And I'm not saying that, like, that's been a factor probably in other games. Georgia's second team has probably tackled better than it did in that game. But it's also compared to just 2 against Clemson. You know, so the difference between 2 missed tackles and 15 missed tackles is gargantuan. Well, and then when you throw everything else on there, like you're dropping snaps and you're getting some tough breaks with penalties, and you've got some penalties that are legit, and on top of all of it, you're on the road at night and you've given this team a chance to believe. Like, you're in a little bit of a hornet's nest there, man. You're in a little bit of a hornet's
nest. Urban filled bellies.
Yeah, but like you said, kept them out of the end zone.
Well, and going back to that 15 total that you gave for missed tackles, I wonder how that would, you know, include tackle. It probably wouldn't include the lack of knockback tackles, and that's what the two guys that we talked to this week, Jalen Walker, and Chaz Chambliss, pointed to. Is they were like, hey, we weren't knockback tackling. We were falling back and giving up, you know, an extra 2, 3, 4 yards, and it was becoming 2nd and 3, 2nd and 2, instead of 2nd and 5, 2nd and 6, 2nd and 7, you know, because they were getting pushed back. And so
and I think it should be
included in that 15 number.
I think it should be refreshing to Georgia fans to hear them come out and talk, like, just put that out there and be honest about it.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, that is refreshing to hear, because those guys are aware, hey, you know, they're not resting on their laurels. They're not saying, oh, well, you know, we didn't let them in the end zone. You know, what more could we have done? No, they understand that, hey, this is a thing. This is something that they can fix. Again, that's one of those easily fixable things. I think that this team will tackle better when they go on the road to Alabama. I think that they will be better communicators on offense. The officiating, the penalties, they are what they are. I think you want to clean that up. But like you said, some of those were just weird penalties, you know, and maybe shouldn't have been penalties, but that's a different topic. Officiating in this league has been questionable. But I think that Kirby's tone this week has all been about improvement, and I think the players have picked up on that.
Yeah, and another thing I'll point out here too, and this is something that Rusty and I really dug into on Dogs HQ Plus, and it's that ultimately, like, Georgia came into that game because something else Kirby said this week was, you know, he again kind of applauded Kentucky for having a good defense. And you know, listen, we were hearing kind of late last week that Georgia had some concerns about that defensive front and, you know, about how big they were, about how moving, you know, Georgia's one of these teams. I think that Georgia really values balance to the point that they start to get a little bit concerned when they get, if they're concerned about running the ball, they're concerned about the whole offense, I think is the best way to put it.
Well, and
go ahead.
I was having a conversation with Connor Riley this week, and he was saying, hey, there's a chance that through three games, Georgia has already played the best defensive front that they will see, Clemson, and the best individual defensive lineman that they will see, Deion Walker. Alabama's got a really good front. Tim Keenan is a really good player up front. You know, they've got really good inside linebackers, but there's a chance that they don't play anybody better than Deion Walker. And there's a chance that they don't play any group better than the group that Clemson had with Peter Woods and TJ Parker and Barrett Carter and all those guys that they have in that defensive front. And especially to do those out of the gate early in the season when you're still figuring things out, you're still developing that chemistry that we talked about. I think that says a lot, and I think that Georgia fans should feel good about the chances that this offensive line and this offensive group as a whole is going to look better when they see that kind of test again.
Yeah, and I'll get to this a little bit later, and I'm not. This is not like saying for those of you out there, and listen, I know there's some frustrated Georgia fans out there. This is not me saying, hey, pipe down, this is going to get better. I don't know if it will or not. But one thing we do know is that for four straight years, hell, you may consider five, to be honest with you. If you could take it back to 2020 and really the underperforming line of 2019, Georgia's gotten off to slow starts on the offensive line every single year. Veteran, non-veteran. Honestly, like that 2020 group may have did the best job, but because it got home the fastest. You know, it played those two straight home games early in the year against Auburn and Tennessee. It struggled on the road against Arkansas, got their tails whipped in three-man fronts. But just varying levels of slow starts. Last year, it was the first month of the season. You know, it was that way in 2022. I remember, you know, former guy on the board that used to watch all of our shows here that doesn't really watch them all anymore, old Matthew C., going back and forth with the man about, hey, listen, guys, you know, they're replacing some new parts. Just give it a little time. Offensive lines take some time to gel, yada, yada, yada. You know, kind of all that going on. But, you know, I still think that they've got, you know, they've got some growth to do there. And they've shown you that they can start off slow and they can get it corrected. Whether they will this time or not, I don't know. But I do like those weapons behind them. And I think Trevor Etienne's a big, you know, big weapon. Bye week comes at a great time for him. To Palmer, let's do some prize picks.
Prize picks, Jake. I've got us some picks for this week.
Did we? First of all, we need to look back at last week and take our medicine.
It's been a rough start. It's been a rough start for me on a lot of fronts. the staff pick 'em. I think I might be in last place there after I was, you know. Pretty hot last year,
but like 20 units up last year.
And let's I'll get it on the record here. I'll be honest. I'm the one that puts that together. I wouldn't have put the last year's records on there if I didn't know that I was as good as I was last year. but yeah, no, I have not gotten off to a great start with prize picks, but you can.
My man was so good last year on the staff picks that he posted his – he made sure and put last year's records in this year's story so that it could live on.
Yes. I had to pat myself on the back one last time. But
that is a veteran move, big time. Hey, listen, if you don't know what prize picks is, it is not – it's not being up any units or anything like that. It's daily fantasy, baby. It is daily fantasy, and you can do it across all sports. NBA, MLB, is NASCAR an option? Can we do NASCAR?
Can we do NASCAR? We
I know basketball is in
NASCAR. We can do NASCAR.
You got NASCAR. You got everything. It's daily fantasy.
Look at all those options.
We're into the football. That's what we're into. But listen, it's the most fun I have ever had. And Palmer is sitting here talking about a rough start. We've got smiles on our faces because it's a lot of fun. You go in there, you drop $20, and you put together a lineup, three people, 20 to win 60. Put in four, you can make 20 to win 90. You can toggle between the little green good devil and the red bad devil, and take some more chance, put a little risk, add a little risk, get a little payout, get a little potential. It's tremendous, and it's some of the most fun I've ever had. And Palmer, we need to get in to our picks for this bye week.
Yeah, for this bye week, I am putting an NFL pick together, an NFL play, and it's dogs in the NFL plus a promo that they've got going. Zamir White against the Carolina Panthers. Carolina's been bad this year. I like more for Zamir over the 56.5 rushing yards. James Cook coming off of another huge game that he had. This week he'll be playing in Monday night against Jacksonville. 64.5. Easy money for James Cook.
Rushing or receiving?
Rushing okay. Yards. And then George Pickens, he had a strong game and will be going up against Jim Harbaugh, who he played pretty well against in that Michigan Orange Bowl there.
Palmer, I don't think he had a catch.
Yeah, but he had that block, Jake.
He had that block.
That block. That's what lives on. But 3.5 receptions, I think he can do it this week. I am going more on Zamir, James, and George. And then I am adding in the Caleb Williams promo play here, more half passing yards. If Caleb Williams, I know he hasn't thrown a touchdown yet, but he has thrown for passing yards. I think he can throw for a passing yard again.
I've done some of these just kind of, low hanging fruit type deals. I've done this a couple of times and I feel the least confident about this one. I think there's a legit chance he could end up with zero passing yards.
But 20 to win 200, we are playing that in the bye week. Dogs in the NFL plus Caleb Williams. And we are in on for some fun. But if you want to get in on the fun as well, join us over at Prize Picks. Use promo code DOGS. Go to prizepicks.com and use promo code DOGS to receive a guaranteed $50. $50 once you play $5 in your lineup. Like Jake and I said, we've had a lot of fun doing this. It's a great way, especially this weekend. You're not going to have, a team playing. George's off, but you can have some skin in the game by joining us on our Prize Picks play. Again, use promo code DOGS to receive a guaranteed $50 when you play $5 in your own lineup.
All right, folks, Prize Picks is awesome. We have a good time with it. Now, let's look ahead to Alabama week. All right, so we got Rammer Jammer coming up in Tuscaloosa. Really excited about that. It's going to be a tough game to win no matter – I mean, last year, 2022, 2021, I don't care. It's very, very, very difficult to win in Tuscaloosa. But, Palmer, I got to ask you. We've seen the good and we've seen the bad from this team. We've seen it for different stretches and different periods of time. And do you think Georgia is capable? Do you think this football team is capable of going in there based on what you've seen and putting together its A-plus game? Or is it going to need some help from Alabama? Just kind of early look ahead. Do you think Georgia's going to need some help from Alabama? Or do you think Georgia's capable of being – going in there and saying, hey, I'm going to play well enough and just win this ball game?
I think so. I think Georgia is capable of getting the job done there in Tuscaloosa and putting together its best game yet. And, quite frankly, I don't know that the best game yet is all that hard to play. Because if you come out and you show any sort of life, if you get in the end zone in the first half, you're already on track to playing your best game. How often, I mean, Jake, you've covered the entire Kirby Smart era. I've covered a good bit of it. It's not often that we've seen two bad games from these Bulldogs in a row. I mean,
yeah, I would say probably the closest thing we've seen, and it was different because you had seen other things, but was Kent State and Missouri back to back there in 2022.
And one of those games, I think, is it's hard to say, oh, Georgia played bad against Kent State. Georgia probably didn't come out with the same sort of intensity for Kent State or Missouri that it will for Alabama.
Yeah.
And that it, you know, should have and did against Kentucky.
Yeah. And listen, one of the things it's funny. I heard Manti Te'o talking about this the other day on Good Morning Football on NFL Network. And he was talking about how that at Notre Dame, playing to your competition, playing down to your competition, has become a little bit of a disease at Notre Dame. And, you know, that was behind the Northern Illinois loss and all that stuff. And listen, I think Georgia, I don't know that it's a disease. I think everybody has to manage it. Palmer, we played high school ball. You did it in high school. Like how many times did we play a team we're supposed to beat by 50, ended up beating them by 50 or beating them by, you know, 40. And we just, you know, punted a couple times early in the game, or we got penalties in the red zone and didn't score. I mean, just all sorts of stuff, like unfocused stuff. But one thing Georgia has done, especially during the regular season, we can go to these neutral site championship game stuff. I mean, the playoffs been great. I guess we just take out the SEC championship game. And Georgia's been ready for these big regular season games, man. They've been so good in these big regular season games. Like, I think folks forget Tennessee last year. And what I mean by that is, like, Georgia went in there and hostile environment, right? Already a hostile environment. And you're facing a front that you're worried about, James Pierce and a really good run defense, and you got all of that going on. You go in there and you just fan the flame right away, give up a 75-yard touchdown, and Georgia just asserted its will offensively from there on out. Like, it was just – I think they got three on the next drive. Then, they, you know, from there on out – I mean, the defense smothered Tennessee, don't get me wrong, but the offense was unstoppable. Like, the offense was – I mean, if they had decided to want to kick it in gear and keep going, they could have scored 50 in that game. And
and another thing to think about is how good Georgia's been off of byes.
Yeah,
they have. They've won 21 straight with more than a week to prepare. That goes back to that Texas Sugar Bowl. This team is good, and Kirby Smart's good at what he does. I very much think that this is
now you want to know something pretty funny about that is I believe in 2020 is the only time they didn't have a bye before Florida, because obviously Florida beat them after that, would have beaten them after that bye. They had the bye after Alabama and before Kentucky, and that was the year Georgia beat Kentucky 14-3 in Lexington. So even a bye can't even get in the midst of this, you know, nasty Kentucky mojo that they've got going on up there. Something about the little hexes the Hill people put on Georgia or something.
Yeah, that was one of the most boring football games I ever watched.
Dude, I was sitting here like I had done lines of Colombian Bam Bam. Like worried about people getting, we talked about it on Bark After Dark, like legs, like, you know, like just sitting here bouncing my legs. You can see my screen moving there. Being like, let's get through these commercials and get this game over with. Like, this is like pulling teeth. This is disgusting. Let's get this
on Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about that 2020 Kentucky. Oh,
this game. One was worse. This one was probably worse.
This one wasn't as boring, though. I think that 2021 was so boring.
Oh, wow.
It was
we all watched it from home. I don't think hardly anybody went up there to cover it because it was during COVID and all that weirdness.
Halloween.
Yeah, I was. You're right. And that's, you know, they got back that night. Richard LeCount got in the motorcycle accident. Mm-hmm. Listen, the hex, dude, the hex of the Hill people, I think they've put it on Georgia. And every time Georgia has to drive through that little – you know, those Hill people zones in there, they sprinkle some dust on them and it just cuts down on the points.
Jake, what do you expect the message, the memo to be from Kirby when we hear from him again on Monday ahead of Alabama week?
I don't know, man. I think he's just going to want to try to keep it even keel. I really do. I think he's going to try to want to keep it, you know, I mean, a lot of respect. You know, just that whole thing. He's gonna toe the line on it. But I will say this. This is a tough thing to get a read on, because something was in George's head, right? Like something's been there. I mean, they find a way to start fast and then they play poorly. Then they punch first, they get punched back, and they don't respond well to that punch for whatever reason. I don't think it's a physicality or toughness or anything like that. It's just Georgia struggles to get it on track against Alabama and keep it on track against Alabama. And I just wonder, I don't know what a head coach can do about that. I'm sure that's one of the things that I feel like makes these guys worth the money that they make, is because, you know, you get in, you put in the time, and you learn people to the point that you kind of figure out, all right, well, how do you, you know, kind of get that out of there? And you try different things. And I just think Georgia's got to find a way to respond better to adversity against Alabama. That's the one team they don't really respond well. And I don't know if it's – and the reason it's hard to get a judge on it, Palmer, is I don't know if it's through the players' eyes into the crimson and white, or if it's Kirby Smart and the coaching staff kind of, you know, going into a different mode. I feel like they did last year when Amarius Mims went down. They kind of panicked and they're like, hey, let's run this football a little bit. And
but is that coaching mode, is that going to be different this time with no Nick
Saban? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
There's a lot of unknown in this game.
It almost feels like there's more pressure, Palmer. It almost feels like there's more pressure on Kirby that you got to win. You lose to Saban, get in line. You know,
yeah.
And listen, it's not like, I mean, Kalen DeBoer is awesome. Like, he's a great coach. I mean, I still think the longevity of the recruiting thing and the stomach for being able to do it year after year at the pace that Saban did it and Kirby does it and all of that, that's just really hard for any man to do. And I just named two that did it great. Right. So there's clearly not many. But man, he's a fantastic coach, and a lot of coaches have lost to him. I mean, there's a long line there too, but you know, listen, you get put into Nick Saban's win pile, you've got a lot of company, and you do, and you got plenty in Kalen DeBoer's too, but it's just not the same. It's the greatest of all time versus one of the best there is right now. And it almost feels like there's just a little bit more pressure.
Yeah. And I think the Saban question, the DeBoer question is going to get asked, and coach, you know, Kirby, how is this different? You know, Nick not being on that opposite sideline, Kalen being over there.
Yeah, I dread that question too. I just think it's one of those stupid questions that we gotta ask, that has to be asked by somebody, and you can guarantee it won't be me, and I won't cry if it doesn't get asked.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how I look at it. All right, Palmer, high school football. All right. I have become a junkie. I've become a clip junkie. I clip these NFHS clips out every
week. You have become a junkie for clipping the clips.
I have. I clip out the clips. I do it. NFHS is awesome, dude. This thing is so great. Hundreds of high school football games. Thousands, maybe. I don't even know. It's limitless. NFHS is your network if you are into high school athletics. You got a niece that plays volleyball. You know, check it out. See if she's on NFHS. You can see some of her games. You got a grandkid that's into soccer, JV. They might have it on NFHS. Y'all, they cover the entire country. They do a phenomenal job. It's great in the state of Georgia, especially. Right there, I'm seeing a local game, Clark Central, Jackson County. I don't know anybody at either one of those schools. I'm probably going to tune into that game for at least a few minutes and see what's going on. Just kind of see, you know, hey, because I've been to both of those stadiums, I might see somebody I know walking around on the sideline down there. That's how cool it is. But I watched games from South Georgia, North Georgia, out of state. I got a chance to watch Talon Taylor. Guys, Talon Taylor.
You've been trying to do that for a little while.
I have. And the camera was down. Listen, technology sucks sometimes. It really does. Talon Taylor has a receiver on his team. 2027 prospect, Palmer, had a huge game last week. Two back-to-back kickoff returns for touchdowns, back-to-back weeks. All right, this cat is unreal. All right, now listen, he also plays in the state of Illinois with Talon Taylor, and his name is Bennett Conkey. Bennett, like Stetson Bennett, Conkey, like Ladd McConkey without the Ladd or the Mick, okay? Bennett Conkey, I think he's probably destined to play at Georgia. 11.
What did you say his 40 time was? You or 100 time? You
in the 100 meters as a freshman, outdoor 100 meters, it was like 11.02. That's really good, man. You're looking at a guy that if he keeps working at it, it's probably like a 10.6, 10.5 and a half, 10.6 guy by the time he's a senior.
And playing with Alan Taylor is going to get him on some radars this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So
it's got him on yours.
That's the kind of stuff you see. If you're sick like me, if you've got a problem like me, going over to NFHS, you can see all the Georgia. I'm really just playing about that. But listen, come on over to Dogs HQ, and there will be a story, a free story on the front page. And Jake Roos writes it for us every week, and it has links to all of the Georgia commits in these NFHS games. Go check them out. And Palmer, what's that promo code for us, dude?
Promo code. Jake, the promo code.
Yes. I'm putting you on the spot. I know.
The promo
code. Is it GoDogs25?
Is. GoDogs25. GoDawgs25.
GoDogs25, and you get
the first month.
Yeah, you get 25% off your first month. And listen, if you don't like it after that first month, I'm sure they'll tell you the same thing. Get rid of it. But it's awesome, and you will love it. All right, Palmer, let's tell the truth. Okay, let's, listen. You have you've just done something really poor. Your dad gives you that look, that son. I know something's there, and you've got to tell the truth. Tell the truth about this Georgia football team. What do you think?
The truth is, Saturday's game against Kentucky doesn't change much for me. I think that I came into this season thinking that they would see their regular season win streak come to an end at some point. I don't see this team going undefeated. And that's not because of how they played against Kentucky. That's because of just how difficult it is to win 12 games, especially when you're playing the schedule that they're playing, and especially when you're playing the kind of opponents that you're playing on the road. This team is flawed. There's no doubt about that. And I was saying the fact that Georgia in 2022 at Missouri, in 2023 at Auburn, in 2023 at home against South Carolina, in 2024 at Kentucky has struggled in some of these games makes that 2021 team that much more special to me. And just the fact that they did what they did and really didn't struggle all that much, it makes it that much more impressive. And so the truth about this 2024 Georgia Bulldogs team is that they are flawed. They are among the flawed football teams in this country, but they have a shot to win a national championship still.
All of them are, I feel like. All of them are. They were last year too. Now, that 2021 team was flawed. I mean, they clearly lost a game. And, everybody wanted to fire the quarterback. That's Georgia fans, I love you. You really want to fire people. You want to get rid of them. And, sometimes it's not the best. Sometimes it may be. So you've certainly been right about things before. There's a guy coaching wide receivers you were right about. That's absolutely true. Most of the fan base had that one right. All right. So, Palmer, I'm going to tell the truth. I think Carson Beck is playing very substandard football right now by his standards and by everybody else's standards. I was a big-time defender of Carson Beck early last season, and I still am. I've got all the confidence in the world. I've seen now a tremendously talented and effective quarterback at display. I've seen him. I come away from the Kentucky game even fairly impressed, because after not cutting the ball loose in the coverage all game long when the game was on the line, he made a big throw. And it wasn't an easy throw either. He kind of came away from a check down and threw a corner out to Dominic Lovett in some fairly decent tight window there and made a play. So I've got a lot of confidence in Carson Beck getting better, but Carson Beck's playing substandard football right now. Georgia's offensive line is playing substandard football right now. It probably as bad or even worse than Carson Beck is playing, but probably worse. Georgia's three offensive tackles against Kentucky played poorly. Now I don't know why that is. Were there some communication issues that they were having from the interior with the tight ends? I don't know. I'm not saying that these guys are poor players. I'm not saying they got beat up. I'm not calling them names. And I'm not saying questioning their ability to be successful football players. They are all really good football players. I've seen them all play great football. I've got no concerns about whether or not they're going to get there. Guys, this comes down to one thing. If you know Georgia football and you know Kirby Smart and you really paid attention to those 2021 and 2022 teams and even the teams before them, on pretty much every single team before them, except for maybe the 2019 team, but that team was chasing injuries and everything down the stretch and just couldn't get out of its way offensively, but still found a way after that South Carolina game to get itself to a point where it had a chance. Kirby's teams get better. Like they get better. And yeah, they have the clunker and they play down to the competition and they have the mistakey games and stuff like that. They always have those. Even that 2021 group had some of those, but that defense just never let anybody go anywhere. And so it never got hairy. Kirby Smart teams get better. Now, if this one is the exception and doesn't, then they're not going to go where they want to go. But if it is the rule, if it is what it almost certainly is and will be, then Georgia's going to be fine down the stretch. And as of right now, I'm leaning towards picking Georgia against Alabama. I like Georgia playing off of a game like this, playing off of a struggle. You know, humility's a week away, Kirby says. That usually kind of comes with the connotation that you lost a ball game. Georgia's humble right now, and I think that's a good thing for him going into this week. But this season hinges upon improvement as the season goes on, and Kirby's giving you a really strong track record of that. And I think that, you know, it should continue. And if it doesn't, then Palmer will be trying to figure out what how many people we want to send to whatever meaningless bowl they're at.
Preach.
Preach. I appreciate that. That's a good compliment there. And we're going to send everybody off into the ethos and to their weekend. Listen, may your barbecue be very, very juicy. All right, that you're going to cook this weekend. May your time with your family and kids be great.
Big, what are you up to this bye weekend?
I'm going to what am I doing? We're going to a barn. We're going to see some horses. We're not going to buy any.
Maybe.
I don't know where we're going to put them. I don't know where we're going to put them. But, yeah, we're going to go to a horse barn. And this lady that we know just got finished building like this huge one, and she's got a bunch of new horses. So we're going to go hang out with some animals and probably watch a little football.
You're getting the measurements for the barn dominium?
No barn dominiums. Not yet. Dogs HQ. When Dogs HQ takes off, we're going to start the Dogs HQ barn dominium. And just fans are just going to be able to swing in and hang out. And that's what we're going to do whenever it gets big. So if you guys want to start a GoFundMe, we're ready. All right, let's get out of here, Palmer. Let's get these people go. Y'all have a great weekend. We love you. See you back on Sunday.